Blog Talk Radio.
I'm not.
Hello, welcome to PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. I am one of your hosts, Terrence.
And I am your other host, Tanisha. Today is March 31st, 2021. It is 7.09 p.m. Central Standard Time.
It's 7.09.
The last day of March.
First quarter.
So, yeah, we're going into the beginning of second quarter. We're excited to be here. We know the Lord is already here. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of PGN. Let's get started. Let's see what the Lord has to say tonight. I'm expecting miracles. I'm expecting answers. I'm expecting direction. And most of all, I am expecting opportunities. That's a word that I saw earlier today as I was working. Somebody said opportunity, and then at the same time, I saw a file on my desk. One of my clients who has the word opportunity in their business name, I saw it like at the same time, and it just really got me excited. So I said, you know what, Lord, I see you, and I'm believing for opportunities for all of us tonight. Excuse me.
Listen.
Thank you.
I know that you're gonna be delivered from those allergies.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
I believe that. And, you know, if you guys have been tuning into the show this week, Randy's been talking about, the DNA realm and the blood realm and how the blood retains memory and how God is teaching him about how we can, receive our deliverance from sickness and disease through the blood realm and through closing up basically the memory in the blood. So if you haven't been listening, I highly suggest that you tune in and listen. This is something that, you know, listen to Monday's show, listen to Tuesday's show, and then tune in tonight. It's something that I have been personally asking the Lord about, because he told me before, I have a gift of healing. And, you know, when you have a gift of healing, you hear how I'm sneezing. I'm like, I really want to know how to walk in it, just, not just for my benefit, but for the benefit of people that I encounter, for your benefit, PGN's benefit, for Terrence's benefit. He's got, you know, issues with his back and knees and all sorts of stuff. And it's like when God has told you that you've got
not all sorts of stuff. Why you got to put it on me like that?
Oh, sorry. I just didn't want to go into, you know, I didn't want to itemize it. So I kind of threw that off.
It seemed like I was just...
No, you're not over here.
A walking paper bag.
No.
Wetting paper bag, is it?
Nothing like that.
Jeez.
But just, you know, like I said, I wasn't going to sit there and name everything.
I understand.
So I just put everything in all sorts of stuff category. But when you have loved ones that need healing, when you need healing, when you're part of a network and God is using you to minister to people and prophesy over people and help deliver people, set them free, get them on the right path, and you're told by the Lord himself that you have a healing ministry, of course you want to walk in that. And so I'm really excited about this week's, the teachings that Randy has been on this week, because I know that it's getting me one step closer to being able to fully operate in that gift of healing, because a lot of us are suffering, you know, and there's levels to suffering. You know, somebody says, oh, you've got allergies, it's not suffering. I haven't felt right in probably 14 years. I've had allergies, and it's not like it's just, oh, spring. No, spring, summer, winter, fall, name, pick a season, any season. You know, I've got allergies. I'm sneezing, I'm snotting, not to be gross. I'm hacking, I'm snorting, you know, eyes are swelling up, my ears are itching, throat itching, getting hives. You know, it's just been wild. And I don't know about you. I don't know what you're dealing with. But I know me. I want everything that the Lord has for me. Where God says, by his stripes, I'm healed. And I want my healing. I want it, and I want it now. And so I'm really excited about learning more about the healing realm and how things work. Because a lot of people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. And perishing isn't always like just death. You could be perishing in a particular area. And I don't want to perish in any area of my life. And I want to fully use every gift that God has given me. And I want to be used in every intended purpose that he has for me and had for me when I was just in his mind. We all started in the mind of God. And so I want to be used to full capacity.
Yeah, I agree. And I know that you will be. And it's like God would take the very thing that tries to take us out and bless us with it. He'll use it to bless us with it. Like Paul was a persecutor of Christians. So like the very thing that he was trying to come against, he converted them into.
Right.
And he witnessed to. And I look at like with sickness in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It's not all like things will come by with from what you eat or, you know, what you drink or this, that, and other. All those play a factor. But like you said, there are things that come from the bloodline.
Right.
And he'll use the very thing that was already established before you existed.
He'll
flip it to where you conquer it and be able to share with people how to overcome it as well.
Absolutely.
And so a lot of things that are on us, we really need to ask God, okay, Father, how do I use this for your glory?
Yes.
Because a lot of times we're like, Lord, I'm just tired. Get me out of this. I'm sick of this and da, 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 da.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we want to rid ourselves of it. But Lord, how can we use this for your glory?
Mm.
See, when you take it off of yourself and give it to him, then it takes root. Because we have to cast all our cares upon him, because that's what we care about. We care about feeling good.
Right.
We care about looking good.
Yeah.
We care about living good.
Yeah.
This is what we care about. But then the state that you're in right now, we should begin to change our verbiage and ask God, how can I use this for the kingdom?
Yeah. Yeah.
Me and Tanisha talk often about maximizing the moment mm-hmm. and really focusing on where we are in the moment so that we can get everything out of the moment, because the moment is what we are currently in.
Right.
This moment.
Mm-hmm.
The past is what it is. The future has yet not been revealed. Right. It hadn't come. We're not existing in it yet.
Mm-hmm.
But every second that we take, we are moving towards the future, which is then the existing moment. So the moment matters. That moment. God, what do you want me to have? Get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Let me focus. Instead of focusing on getting out of it, what are you teaching me while I'm in it? What are you showing me while I'm in it? You know, and I think that's the mentality that us as believers should really share.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes us strong soldiers. That's what really conditions us to understand what being an overcomer is and really walking in true victory.
Yeah.
True victory means that you understand it. Mm. Then God gives you the wisdom to deal with that you understand.
Yes.
Let that sit for a moment. Let that sit. We're so in a hurry. God bless me. Change this. I'm tired, Lord. And all of those things are true. But we need to focus on what are we needing at that moment. Because he said he would supply all of our needs.
Mm-hmm.
According to his riches and glory. So you think that sometimes, even when we're in situations where that it seems like it's unfavoring, it's very uncomfortable, it's hurting, it's painful, it's difficult, it's disturbing, you don't think even in those times that we are getting the things that we need from God? So if we shift our focus on to what we need, we begin to relinquish, and those other particular things begin to minimize themselves in our lives as priorities. The priority is the need. So, Lord, we just thank you for fulfilling the need.
Yes.
And changing our mindset to focus on tonight what it is that we need.
Mm-hmm.
We don't even know what we want. We think we know what we want until we get it. Then you'd be like, you know what, I believe this was a bad idea.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I just pray that we as believers line our wheels up to yours tonight, Heavenly Father, and seek your will for our life so that we can focus on what it is that we need in the moment. What we need, if we focus on what's needed, hallelujah. That's the foundation to receive everything that we want.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord said he'll give us the desires of our heart. Yes. So whatever it is that you're desiring, that's great. As long as it lines up with the will of God. But make sure you're getting what you need to support that you want.
Yes.
I want a house, Lord. I want a good job. But you need the money. You need the skills. You ain't got neither of the things that you need for what you claim and that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the need is important. The need is important. And God is the supplier of our needs. And I just pray that we begin to minimize, that we begin to really truly decrease and allow God to increase in our lives on every level, on every level. Denise is my best friend. And every day, I'm loving her more and more. I don't care what it is that we go through. We have our moments where I don't want to say nothing to her. I'm like, move. Go ahead on now. You're doing too much. And the same thing, vice versa with her. But at the end of the day, we find ourselves laughing.
Mm-hmm.
We find ourselves giving each other a little eye. You know, because we understand that We're not going to allow debt to become greater than what's needed. Because we have to, the need is to learn how to have confrontation, like divine confrontation. We have to learn the need for people to be able to express themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And you respect it. Or even acknowledge it, even if you don't respect it. You acknowledge it. Allow people to be who they are, but you love them unconditionally through it all, because God will show you things about people, even when they don't see it in themselves. And so you have to test yourself on what it is that you, what you've seen,
yeah,
versus what you are seeing. God is showing you something, and you know you got a relationship with God. You got to believe that. Okay, I believe that, Lord.
Yeah.
I know that's not what I'm seeing right now, but I trust what you said. I don't know how you're going to do it. That ain't even my problem.
Right.
I don't know when you're going to do it. That ain't even my problem. But I know you are. I know that you have done it, and it's a time that's set for it to manifest.
Mm-hmm.
That's true faith. That's true faith. And I thank God for this network, for this platform, to be in position to enable us to do what it is that we do. No, God chose us for PGN. We ain't choose PGN.
Right.
God told Randy to open up this platform for myself and Tanisha. We ain't do that. We ain't call Randy. Hey, Randy, look, this is what we need to do. We ain't come to here with no plan. None of that. No, Randy listens to God. He listens to the creator of all things.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit, he yields to. He hears the Holy Spirit. And we are moving in times right now where religiously, listen to me, where religiously, the religious way of thinking is going to be in direct conflict to the way the spirit moves.
Ooh.
It's going to be in direct opposition. Direct opposition. So it's up to you. Are we going to focus on how we do things religiously or how we're going to do things spiritually?
Mm-hmm.
Is God dead or is he alive? Are we hearing words based off what he is saying or what he is saying? And I focus on what he is saying because he said, I'm the God of the living.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, somebody. If he's the God of the living, that means he's current. He's present right now. He knows what's going on right now beyond written words. So I challenge us tonight, don't put God in a box. Man, Tanisha was talking about this, what, yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't put God in no box. Don't hem him up just to scripture. He said, if they that worship me, he said, they that worship me must, hold on, look up the word must, baby.
So,
ooh, man.
Yeah, it's getting a little, slow there. Okay. So must.
Mm-hmm.
Be commanded or requested to, be urged to, by all means to.
Stop that. When I say this scripture,
mm-hmm.
I want you to read that definition.
Okay. Okay.
We're going to go to John 4:24. It says that, I'm reading King James, God is a spirit. And they that worship him,
be commanded or requested to, be urged to, ought by all means to,
worship him in spirit and in truth.
Come on.
Let's do that again. I like the way how that rolled. God is a spirit. And they that worship him
be commanded or requested to, be urged to, ought by all means to.
By all means to worship him, spirit and the truth. By all means.
All means is just that.
All means.
All is all.
Ain't nothing outside of all.
That means by any means necessary.
Worship him in spirit and in truth. He didn't say scripture and in truth. He didn't say religion and in truth. He didn't say theological seminary and in truth. Because trust me, there's a lot of truth in scripture. There's plenty of truth in scripture. We use it as a guide.
It's the truth. Right.
We use it as the guide to open up the spiritual realm, because God came in three persons. He said, I'm the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is the creator of all things. Then he made himself flesh and walked amongst men, gave his life, and rose from the dead. He showed us how we're supposed to do it from the fleshly realm. But then he left. And he said, you know, I'm going to release my Holy Spirit unto you, which will teach you all things. And that's where we are now. The Holy Spirit is living. That's God. Jesus ain't walking the earth anymore. God ain't meeting us in the garden like he did Adam and Eve. But he placed in us his Holy Spirit. Which will bring us into all truth. That's how important it is to tap into the spiritual realm. Don't religify, can I say that word? Religify the spirit of God. Religion is a discipline. Because it's not negative, but if that's your only focus, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because you become dependent on habits.
Mm-hmm. Patterns.
Patterns. I got to get to church on Sunday.
Routines.
Yeah. I got to get to the altar in order for this to happen. Oh, I got to talk to pastor. I got to be able to go to testimony service.
I got to clap three times. I got to shout at this part.
Hallelujah. I got to hear the praise team. No, you don't. You ain't got to do nothing but worship him in
be commanded or requested to, be urged to, by all means to.
Worship him by all means. Worship him. That's sweet. God is a spirit, and they that worship him by all means worship him in spirit. By all means, worship him in spirit. And the truth, the spirit of God is saying something tonight for us to really tap into the spirit as believers. Tonight is our night to get full breakthrough. Full reverential knowledge on how we need to operate and move in our lives to secure our destinies. The Spirit of God is real.
Mm-hmm.
Study, please. Study the Word of God. Hear the Spirit of God tonight as he is speaking.
There's a spirit of religion.
Absolutely.
And it's in direct conflict, like you said, with
yeah.
the spirit of God. Because religion teaches you to just, you're good as long as you're doing this.
Right.
I pray for 5 minutes on Sunday, and then if I do this two times, and it's religious. And like Terrence said, religion is a discipline. There's some things that you should do religiously. You
right.
should religiously shower, right? You should religiously eat and drink healthy foods and beverages, water. You should religiously drink water every day. So religion in itself is not bad. to have that discipline. But when it supersedes,
come on now,
the word of God, it now has become your God.
Yes.
And he said, put no other God.
None.
Before me.
None.
And religion can be your God. You could be bowing down to religion.
Yeah.
And in this season, in this time in earth, God is raising us up to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't bow before nobody.
We bow down to denominations all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I grew up in a Southern Baptist church, you know, and they had their own, basically, doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
They had what they call, what is it, a doctrine or, I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but the first few words, the first three words of this focus was, we believe.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next two words, the scriptures teach. And then it broke down what they believed that the scriptures teach.
Like a little pledge almost.
Right.
I know what you're talking about, because you could go on like some ministry websites and they break down, this is basically, like you said, like our doctrine.
Right.
This is what we believe. This is how we feel about things.
Right.
So you kind of see their point of view.
Right. And I'm like, but that ain't the Bible. It's a part of it. Why not we believe that Jesus is?
Mm-hmm.
And we as believers of Jesus Christ will follow the teachings of Jesus, mm-hmm, and live our lives according to the teachings of Jesus, regardless of the times that we are in, because we believe that he has lived and he died and he lives now.
Yeah.
Simple.
That's a good doctrine, or a good, I don't know, it's a statement.
Right.
Something like that.
It's a mission statement.
There it is.
Yeah. When you say statement, it unlocks the car. It puts the car wheels off. Yeah. But a mission statement.
Yeah.
You know, so they saying that this is our mission. Look at mission.
You might
maybe I could do it faster.
Yeah, because mine is kind of on total.
Yeah, you
total
got
line.
Like 1,000 F's open. And so we're going to look up mission. When we look up mission statement, it says an important assignment carried out for political, religious, or commercial purposes, typically involving travel. So the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one. This is what the definition says. To go out into the world and spread its faith.
Mm-hmm.
The vocation or calling of a religious organization, emphasis, especially a Christian one.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically saying in the definition, us as Christians are divided. Especially Christians. They're going to focus on this mission statement. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen it.
Yeah, to go out into the world and spread its faith.
Mm.
Its faith. What does that mean?
So that means the organization's faith versus what we should be teaching as believers. You know, that's one thing that has always, I remember as a baby in Christ, learning about the different denominations.
Mm-hmm.
I was confused. You know, I didn't come in. I wasn't raised in church.
Right.
So I didn't know. I'm like, what's the difference between a Pentecostal and a Baptist and a Episcopalian, an AME? I'm like, why are there so many?
Evangelical.
Right. Like I said, Southern Baptist.
First Baptist. Second Baptist.
You know, I'm like, I was confused.
Church of God and Christ.
Ooh. Then the Church of Christ.
Right.
You
Church
know,
of Christ.
There's just so many different denominations. And so as a baby of Christ, I asked the Lord. I'm like, what exactly is a denomination?
Mm-hmm.
And he broke down that it was a group of people who had implanted their own man-made, mm-hmm, their own man-made stuff into scripture. Because I remember going, you know, some churches being told you can't wear pants, and some churches you can't play instruments in the church, and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, this has caused division. So then you've got this denomination teaching their way is right, and you've got this denomination teaching their way is right, and they're in direct opposition, they're in conflict, and they're losing focus on the core you know, the core teaching, which is Jesus. And so if the church, I mean, if the world sees the church divided, they don't see us as one, because this person's saying, no, you guys are wrong because you got instruments playing in your church. And this person says, well, you're wrong because you let women, you know, teach. And then this one's saying, you're wrong because you wear pants. And then this one's saying, you're wrong because you don't wear white gloves. And this one's saying, you're wrong because you don't have Saturday service. And there's just all these different things that's causing division in the house divided. It's not going to stand.
That's what it is. Now, I'm going to read these definitions because I hope y'all read. But the Lord really got us on this tonight. First, we're going to go to denomination definition, right?
Okay.
Can y'all hear us out there? Can y'all hear us out there? All right. It says denomination is a recognized autonomous branch of the Christian church. A recognized autonomous branch. Most of us probably don't know what autonomous means.
Right.
I'm going to break autonomous down. Come on. I had it up. There we go. Okay. It's a autonomous branch of Christianity. That's what denomination is, right? But when we look up the word autonomous means having the freedom to govern itself or control its own affairs.
Now, before you get into that,
mm-hmm.
I want to point out something that stood out to me. You
mm-hmm.
said autonomous branch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says that he's the vine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're the what? We're the branches.
Mm-hmm.
But we done slid a whole nother word in front of it. We done added to mm-hmm. be with these denominate autonomous.
Right.
Which has the power to what? Govern themselves. But we are supposed to be representatives of the kingdom of God, which is a type of government.
Mm-hmm. It is. The kingdom of God is a real government.
It's a real government.
People, heaven is a real place.
It's a real place. I've been there. Listen to me. Hear me. If this is your first time calling in and you haven't listened before, I want you to know that I have seen and experienced heaven. It's a real place. It's not just some made-up place in the sky and, you know, something that people say to make themselves feel good and so that when their loved ones die, they just, you know, have some sort of hope so that they can. No, it's real. It's more real than the conversation that we're having right now. It's more real. I felt more alive.
It's real law. What'd you say?
I felt more alive in the experiences that I had in heaven than I've ever felt here as a human on earth. It's a real place. It's a real government. We are here as kingdom citizens.
Absolutely.
And we are supposed to be the branch, mm-hmm. and Jesus is the vine. We're not.
He's the true vine.
He's the true vine. So we don't need to be having control over anything
mm-hmm.
that's already. How do you control something that's already controlled?
Right. How do you govern yourself first and foremost when you have submitted your will as a born again believer
to a government, which is
to
kingdom.
A government?
How now when people do that, what
right.
they call it, anarchy?
Yeah, you're an anarchist. You are around here.
You govern
yourself.
Basically.
You basically become what they call the ones that they give up their citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call them folks? You basically become sovereign.
And I believe during this time, you know, while we're speaking on this, because God is just moving, it's because he's trying to bring unity in the things that are dividing us. God is coming against those things.
Absolutely.
Like the spirit of religion.
It's
right, the spirit of the spirit of denomination that which causes division,
mm-hmm.
that Jezebel spirit that comes in and causes chaos. We're going to see these things come tumbling. That financial buying and selling that's
mm-hmm.
caused a lot of issues and division. God is going to eliminate those things.
Absolutely.
So that we can be fully united.
Absolutely.
We have to be united as a body. How can we be part of the same body if the foot decide that I'm not going to do what the brain says? There's one brain in a body. There's one.
Mm-hmm.
There's not several. One brain. So one, the brain is what's telling the rest of the body what to do. And in our case, the head is Jesus. He's the head of the body of Christ.
Right.
So there's no other brains that's coming up with their bright ideas of how to do things. We do things according to scripture. We do things according to what the word of God says. We do things according to the kingdom principles and the kingdom rules and the kingdom laws.
Because when you look at unity, right, and you break the word down just strictly from its spelling perspective, you and I tie. You and I got to tie together. We got to become one, basically.
And it could be look at you and I tie, like, you know, when you're in a race and you both are equal.
Yes.
We're not competing if we're tied.
It's no competition.
It's not a competition.
Ooh, that's revelation right there.
It's not a competition. Our church is bigger and better. We're better than yours because we didn't know.
We're this denomination.
You an entire pinky toe. Stop.
I remember my dad was growing, when I was growing up, and I used to listen to my dad. And the number one thing he would say when we would go and listen to other pastors and stuff, he would say, man, just preach Jesus. Preach Jesus.
We've gotten away from that.
Like Jesus says, you can have all the life coaches in the doggone world and still lose your soul.
Come on.
You can live this life full of principles. Full of direct, organized.
You could even have morals, strong morals.
Yeah, strong morals.
You could have morals and
if it ain't got Jesus,
if it don't have
in
Jesus,
it, you lose.
That's
you could gain the whole world through being morally correct.
And doing good works.
And doing good works. And Jesus says they do a good work, but I don't know who they are.
I don't know you. I was watching a program recently on a very famous person who I'm not going to name. But this person, I was watching them on a stage with hundreds of thousands of people just to see that individual. And this person discussed their faith, and it was not in Christ. And I'm watching, and I'm like, you can have adoring fans.
Mm-hmm.
You can do work that brings people immense joy. You could be mm-hmm. seen as an icon. You can, when you leave this earth, they'll say and speak good things about you.
Correct.
But your soul is not secure.
Man, because Jesus said, no man cometh to the Father. No man cometh to the Father. No man cometh to the Father except.
So that means that the norm
mm-hmm.
is no man's coming to the Father. That's just period. That's just a given. But the exception
right.
is through Jesus. So you already, when you came and you were born, you already was not going to go to the Father because that was just a given. But the exception
mm-hmm.
is Christ. So it doesn't matter. If you're a moral person, you know, people seem to think that, you know, morality and Christianity are, you could be I know moral atheists. It's not, you know, you don't have one doesn't come with the, it's not a package. You could be moral
right.
and not have Christ. And some people, they're like, oh no, that person, surely God is going to take mercy on them because they're very moral. They try to do the right things. They give to the poor and all this stuff, they treat people right, they do unto others, right? And we're all, none of us are deserving. So it's not your works, it's the lack of Christ, which is why as a body, we got to get back to Jesus. We got to quit allowing ourselves to get distracted by all this other stuff, because at the end of the day, when you face your judgment, do you got Jesus or not? That's going to be it. That's it. I don't care what hat you wore to church. I don't care what good works you did.
What you rolled up in.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how much money you gave, how much you donated to, even
how many
the kingdom.
You made,
it at the end of the day, this is what it boils down to. Do you got Jesus or not? That's it. And so that's what we need to get our focus back on, not on all this, oh, where's your pen? friends and this, that, and the other and trying to hustle and swindle and all that. Get off of it.
Because it can come down to the last moment.
Look at the thief on the cross.
Right. And you recognize who Jesus is. It's about acknowledging who he is and receiving him.
That's it. You got him or not.
It says your Lord is saved. That's it.
Because all that other stuff, yeah, it's going to play a part. Mm-hmm. Because they're saying that we're going to get different crowns and all that kind of stuff. So
right.
What we did here on earth will be acknowledged. Not like it's just going to burn up in flames. It will be acknowledged. But if you're going to even make it to go to the award ceremony, mm-hmm. It's going to depend on you got Jesus or not. We need to put our focus back on that as a body. That's on that, not on all these mission statements. Mission statements are great. I love to know what people believe and all that kind of stuff.
You got Jesus or not.
Or not. Bottom line.
Right.
That's what it's about. Do you got him or you don't got him?
Right. You got milk? You got Jesus or not, man.
That's it. It's like, you know, I like the movie Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Right? I love that movie. I quote it, right?
Yes.
Because even Terrence knows that when the enemy be trying it, I'm like, you lose. Mm-hmm. Good day, sir. So the movie, if those who don't know it, and if you don't know it, I don't know why you don't. It's a classic, Gene Wilder. But everybody's trying to get this golden ticket so that they can go to Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory, which he hadn't opened to the public ever. And everybody's heard all these rumors about it's so amazing, so wonderful, you know, chocolate world and all this kind of stuff. It's got little Oompa Loompas at work for him and all that. And the determination, if you're going to get in, you got the golden ticket or not.
Right.
And that's what Jesus is. He's like the ultimate golden ticket. You either got him or you don't got him. That's what it boils down to. You can do good works.
Mm-hmm.
You could cast demons out.
Mm-hmm.
You could lay hands. You could pray for people. And you could have effective prayers. I know of people who are under strong demonic influence in their lives, but knew how to work that scripture to have some amazing prayers.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get it twisted. And there's going to be people who say that. But the prayers, I've cast now is going to depart from you. Wicked. I never knew you. Because either you have Jesus or you don't have Jesus. That's what it boils down to. You got love or you don't have love. And that's how you know. The Word of God, it all connects when you read it, right? When you read the Word of God, all the scripture starts to connect. It says that God is love, right? So if you have God in your life,
mm-hmm.
you have what? Love. The Word of God says you'll know them by your fruit, by their fruit. We look at the fruit of the Spirit. Which is a fruit of a person who possesses love. You got people out here casting out demons, all this laying hands. It's the nastiest, most hateful people that you'll ever meet in your entire life. They have no love in them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about people who are just a little bit hard, because there's hard people, right? There's people who are just hard, but they still love. They still do things out of love. Just because they're not going to, you know, give you a pat on the head and sugarcoat things don't mean that they don't lack love. There's different types of love. There's levels to love. Some love is just way more disciplined than others. Some is a little softer. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about mean, nasty, hateful people.
Mm-hmm.
But they doing all these works, but they just nasty as they want to be. And you know they ain't got no God in them. Because if you have God in you, then you have love in you.
Right.
And if you have love in you, it's going to produce fruit. And the fruit that's going to produce is the fruit of the Spirit. So don't get it confused just because you have ability to do stuff. To cast out a prayer, pray and all this proper stuff. If you have all that stuff, it don't mean nothing if you don't have love. The Word of God says it means nothing.
Nothing.
Which means without God, who cares? I don't care if you're the most accurate prophet in the world. I don't care if you got the strongest discernment on the planet. I don't care if you give all your money to the poor. I don't care about none of that. If you don't have love, it means nothing. Keep it.
Nothing.
It has zero value. Why? Because if you're doing all these works and you don't have love, which means you don't have no God. Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to eternity, which we all are going to face, depart from me, you wicked. It doesn't mean anything. You're still not going to make it. You need love. That means you need God. So it doesn't matter what you have without God. It does not matter. It has no value at all. You might as well just go send your life away and all that, and I would never promote that. But I'm just saying that to contrast, that it has no value. It means zero. So we need to put the focus on that. We, as a body of Christ, we got to get on fire, and we got to spread the gospel, and we need to do the work of God. We need to be hearing what the Spirit says and quit just trying to look the part. We got to be who we are. We have to be. Not just talking or just proclaim, oh yeah, I'm any believer, don't do nothing for the kingdom. Don't pray, don't listen to God, don't do nothing. It's not just so that you can make it. You have a purpose. God has something for you to do too. And all of our purposes is not the same. Maybe your purpose is just to, you know, be kind to people or bake cookies or whatever the case may be. Everybody is not the same. But be hearing what the Spirit says. Be hearing. Be listening actively. Mm-hmm. Put yourself in a position to hear. Don't say that, I don't know. I don't ever hear God, but you got spiritual earplugs in. You think?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't hearing because you don't want to. It's not scary. But it's time as a body, we have got to be united. I don't care what your denomination is. You love Jesus. He's your Lord and Savior. We're brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
We got to quit allowing things to divide us because we're part of the same body. We have the same head. We have the exact same head, but we're allowing these earthly things to cause separation, and we got to get past that.
Right.
We got to get past the religion and the denominations. And all these things that are dividing us. And we got to get focused on what's important.
Autonomous. Autonomous.
We got to just be the branch, not the autonomous branch, just the branch. And just be believers. You meet somebody and find out, oh, I'm a believer, you're a believer. And they won't say they're a believer. They'll say what they're. Well, I'm a, you know, Northeast Baptist, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, well, I just love Jesus, so. You know, great, cool. You love Jesus too, right? He's your Lord and Savior. Yeah, okay, well, shoot, we're just both believers. You could be a Northeast Episcopalian, Baptist, African Methodist,
mm-hmm.
whatever, cool, but I just love Jesus. And I'm not, you know, people always want to feel like they're part of something, right? But you are part of something. The moment that you made a decision to serve Jesus and to make him your Lord and Savior, you became part of something bigger than yourself. It's bigger than you. It's about other people. We got work to do. Look at the world around us, man. Look at the world around us. Don't put your head in the sand. Look at what's going on. Keep up with current events to see what's going on. There's been a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. And how have we been responding as a body of what's going on? Are we taking on the mob mentality like the world, the cancel culture of the world? Are we praying for people and believing God for their salvation and believing that God will take the scales off of people's eyes? Or what if Paul was alive during this time? Would we have just thrown him away and tried to cancel him? No, or would we have loved on him, prayed for him, and prayed that the scales would be taken off his eyes? Because if Paul was in today's days, I guarantee you he would have got canceled because of the work that he was doing. And look at who Paul ended up being. He ended up writing most of the New Testament. A lot of those scriptures that you quote, Paul wrote. And he was a persecutor. A persecutor to the church. Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, was a persecutor of the church, a murderer. And God didn't cancel him. God used him. As believers, when we're seeing what's going on in our world, let's not participate in cancel culture. It's not of God. That's from the pit of hell. And I'm seeing people trying to sanctify cancel culture. You can't sanctify it. It's not of God. That's not the way we fight as believers. We don't fight like hell. We fight like heaven. You fight like hell, you're going to get hellish results. We fight like heaven. We pray for our enemies. We love people. When they're doing wrong, when they're engaged, they don't know what they're doing. You forgive them. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. But open their eyes, Father God, to see who you are. Open their eyes to see the influence that they have over the world, to see whose side they're on, to see what work that they're doing. Is that what you're praying? Or are you saying cancel these people? That ain't nothing but the devil. Cancel them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what they're doing might be of the devil. You think what Paul was doing wasn't of the devil? It was. But did God cancel Paul? He did not. Look at what David was doing. You think that stuff wasn't of the devil? That man killed a whole man because he slept with his wife and got her pregnant. The dude had too much integrity to come home and sleep with his wife himself. And David's trying to pin the baby on him. and say, you know what, let's set him up and put him in the front lines and have him killed. That, you think that was godly? It was not. I could go example after example of believers and people in the Bible who participated in things that if they were alive in today's day, would have got them canceled. But God took a he took pity and grace and gave them mercy. And we see that despite their mistakes, how God used them. And that we still, to this day, are learning and drawing faith and hope from their stories of redemption. As believers, we need to be praying for people to be redeemed. We don't throw people away. We don't toss them in the garbage dump. We need to be praying for people. We got work to do. Come out of the world. The world and the word are in direct opposition. Don't try to sanctify the ways of the world. No, and again I say no. We got to do it God's way. Put your bright idea in it. You a branch. You're not an autonomous branch trying to control things and do it your way. The way has already been told. Mm-hmm. The way has already been put in as an example. Then people, you see other people, the people trying to trip Jesus up and all this kind of stuff and how he handles them. People that killed him on the cross. What did he say about them? He didn't say, hey, make sure when I'm gone, cancel. He said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do.
Mm-hmm.
It's time to unite. It's time to come out that religion.
Yes.
It's time to love. It's 2021. We need to have a love fest. What better time to have a love fest when the world is going just hell in a handbasket?
Mm-hmm.
All sort of demonic, satanic things just in plain sight. And how do we fight that? We don't fight fire with fire. We fight fire with the water of the word.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to extinguish the hellish flames that are happening all around us in the world. The world is on fire for hell. And us adding more fire is not going to stop it. We have to extinguish it with the love of God and with the word of God. Not our ways, not trying to, oh, if you can't beat them, join them. That's not of God. Show me the scripture and I'll tell you, cool. It doesn't exist. We do it God's way. Do it God's way or don't do nothing. That's it. Do it God's way. Fight like heaven. Yeah, you see what's going on. Yes, it's breaking loose.
Mm-hmm.
It is breaking loose all around us. We see it every day. But we have the true weapons. We know the way. We need to be showing the world, not letting them show us how to fight. That doesn't even make any sense.
Amen.
We're the winners. So we have to do it. We absolutely have to do it God's way.
Yeah. If you want to win.
If you want to win.
That's a good word, man. Just thank God for his word tonight and what he's come through on.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to answer these callers. And I knew you would be here tonight. The Lord told me you was going to be here, Jayla. He said, get her first.
Hello. Wow.
He said, get Jayla. I hadn't even looked at the call log.
Right, he just grabbed the mouse right now and started scrolling.
Lord said, go to Jayla.
Oh, wow.
I was like,
wow.
For what? Jayla ain't got nothing to talk about. Oh, stuff. Well, he definitely wants you to hear something. Tamisha gonna go first, though.
Yeah, let me go first. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for Jayla, Father God. We thank you for the divine appointments, Father God. We thank you for the what I see, Jayla, I see you having a strong sense of who you are. And it coming straight from God. Because a lot of us, as people, of course, as we age and we glean a lot of our identity from people, and it plays a part, you know, in our self-esteem and how we view ourselves. But I see you becoming independent of that, where you understand and come into who you are strictly through what God says. To where when if people, you know, they notice you and they give you compliments and all that, cool, but, you know, you don't need it. It's like, it doesn't make or break me. It doesn't make me feel better. It doesn't do anything, basically. It's just, you know, it's just me seeing and recognizing that you identify something in me, but it doesn't add to me. Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for. It doesn't add to where you are a very confident person, very secure in yourself as a human being, based on your viewing yourself from God's perspective. You know, like before, I used to be very insecure about my gifts. Very insecure because of, and I've never been the type of person to care what people think about me. I've always kind of marched to the beat of my own drum. But that bothered me. I didn't want people to think I was crazy or weird because of my prophetic gift. And so I would hold back a lot. I would not say things. Even when God would tell me directly what to say, I would try to clean it up, you know. And I was getting in my own way because I was allowing what other people thought to hinder and to cause me to even be disobedient. But when I got very bold and very confident in who I am, I am who I am. I didn't ask to be here, but here I am. And God made me this way. So whoever doesn't like it, that's not my problem. You know, if you don't like a car that you're driving, are you going to tell the butcher? He doesn't care. You would go back to the manufacturer and say, hey, I don't like this car. And so the way I look at it, if you don't like what God has made me to be, take it up with him. It's none of my business, to be told. It's not my problem. I'm not going to make it my problem because it's literally not my problem, and it's none of my business. You know, take it to the manufacturer. God made me this way. You don't like that I prophesy? Too bad for you. You know, go have a cookie and cry in the corner. It's not my problem. But it took me seeing myself from God's point of view, that I see my gifting, that God is using me as a tool for his people. You know, and I want to be sharp. And I'm not going to allow anything to dull me down or to stop me. I'm not going to do it. If I stop, it's because God is telling me to stop. So I'm just, I don't have breaks. God is the only break. I'm going to keep going, period. And so God is going to allow you to see yourself like that, where you're unapologetically who you are. And if people like it, cool. If they don't, cool. It doesn't add or subtract from you. They don't have the ability. It's removing the mask from who you are. It's removing the mask, where they cannot add and they cannot subtract, because you are who you are. And the only person that can do that is God. Where that's, you don't have that little term in your head. Like, you're no math to me. I've never even heard that term before. I like it. I'm not even good at math. But where that's what you'll feel, people will try, they'll try it. And in your head, you're like, you're not no math to me. God already gave me a word about this. You can't add or subtract from me. And when you look at man, it's all surrounded by addition and subtraction. You got addition, subtraction, right? Multiplication and division. So if you are no milk to me, you can't do none of it. You don't have the power or the ability. I'm putting my math in God's hands. Only he can add, subtract, multiply, or divide. So you don't have no ability. I can just hear what you're saying, know your point of view, know where you stand. So it's giving me knowledge, which lets me know how to operate, but it's not going to take away or subtract. I'm still going to be the same Jayla. That's going to be your mentality. And when you have that type of mentality, you're unstoppable. When people cannot take, when they cannot add, because the problem with adding is if people start to depend on it. We see people all the time, look on social media, people who are popping on social media. When they feel like their fan base is, you know, dwindling or they're not getting all the attention, they start to do these outrageous things because people are adding to this. So now it's almost like they're an addict, right? They need the ad. That's what an addict is. The addict needs the ad. What's being given to them by whatever they're addicted to. And this is a revelation to me. Whatever they're addicted to, they need the ad of it. And that's what we see with people, social media junkies. You're like, what are you thinking? But they don't care. They're so addicted to attention, they don't care whether it's negative or whether it's positive. They're doing anything to get attention because they need the ad. They need the ad from people. The ad from people. But when you are only solely relying on God, you're going to post whatever you want to post, whether people like it or not. Because you're not doing it because you're trying to gain something from them. You're doing it because you're being obedient to who God has called you to be. And that's where you are at. That's where you're going. Well, you're doing it for God, period. And people's opinions and all that, it's just that. It's like nothing. It's like, okay, I hear you, I acknowledge your opinion, but you know, it is what it is. Everybody's got an opinion. If I worry about everybody's opinion, I'd be insane. Everybody possesses one. So you're not going to allow that to get in the way and trip you up and be a trap, like a bear trap. People allow people's opinions to literally be like a bear trap. If you've ever seen a bear trap, you get stuck in a bear trap, you're in bad shape. You're not going nowhere. So it's up to authorities if somebody comes and helps you. And a lot of people allow other people's opinions to be a bear trap to their life. They're just stuffed like Chuck, going nowhere, bleeding out. Whole life getting sucked out of them because they're so concerned about other people's views and opinions on them. They're just dying on the wayside. And God's not going to allow that to happen to you because it happens to believers, unbelievers alike, where people's opinions will just cause a slow death. They will perish. And if they have Jesus, yeah, the good news is they'll perish and then they'll go into eternity with the Lord. But while they're here on earth, they're just perishing. Purpose perishing, life perishing, happiness perishing, peace, all these things because they're so concerned about other people's opinion. So Lord, we just thank you for Jalen. We thank you for bringing her out of the math realm with people. And that you are in control of her math. That you add and subtract. You multiply. You divide if need be. But other people don't have that type of power or control over her. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Gee, that's a good word.
Wow.
That was unique.
Yeah.
I've never heard that.
Because the only thing I got was, you know, self-identity and really understanding your identity in him. Mm-hmm. You know, not trying to fit in, but really gravitating to standing out because he made us to be set apart, not looking the part as if trying to blend in. Because that could kind of come off as deceptive when you're trying to blend in with, you know, just stand out and be who you are.
Right.
You know, with no explanation, just be who God has caused you to be and allow God to direct your path and order. Because the steps have already been ordered. But, I mean, really, really grab hold to it. Really grab hold to this and watch what God does. Things that you think take forever in your mind, it's nothing to God. God is really going to deal with you on how you measure what he's able to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll think, oh man, it's going to take forever. You know, this or another. I ain't going to ask God for this. This seems to be a bit too much. And taking the limits off, taking the boundaries off of who God is. And God's going to really open you up to this. That's what I got for you, James.
Amen. Amen. Wow.
Amen.
It's so crazy that y'all attempt. Like, I literally got out of my therapy session, like, not even an hour ago. And what you all are saying is just, it's not funny because I know how God works. And I thank you all for always letting God use you all. But it's just, literally, I have been trying to understand, like, what God is doing in my life, like, in this season. Because I'm like, I've been in a really deep season of, like, isolation. Like, I've been in isolation from God before, but I feel like this is on a whole different level, like, to the point where it's just, like, it's family, close friends, and just relationships, romantic relationships. Like, everything is essentially being, like, he's, like, causing distance to come in between, and, like, really for me to, like, stand in a sense of solitude. And I know I've spoken with, oh, I think I have, but spoken with you all about, like, being a people pleaser before. Like, I just want to make people happy. And then it's crazy because, like, oh, it's just all this stuff keeps coming to my head as I'm trying to talk. But, like, even with me following the instructions of, like, moving to New York and everything like that, like, the reason I kept trying to put it off and not do it and things like that, it was to please the people around me, like my family members and stuff like that. And even, like, with just me as a person, a lot of things that I do, whether it's, like, friends, family, whatever the case may be, I've noticed that I try to, how do I put this? Like, I just try to be a version of myself that I feel like will make them feel better, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it's just how y'all are putting this, and it's making me really understand. Like, I, even when you mentioned, like, the giftings and stuff like that, like, I have not shown all of my giftings or even, you know, put it out there in the way that I know God wants me to, because I have been, like, afraid, you know, of what somebody might say or what, you know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
Basically trapped, literally, it's funny, but, like, trapped in the sense of, you know, not doing something what somebody else wants me to do or what somebody else viewed me to do or how they viewed me to even, like, show up. And that's hard because it's just, like, at the end of the day, I'm really just fighting myself because people are going to constantly, you know, want me to show up in different ways or want me to be this type of person. And it's just, like, I keep essentially killing the true essence of who I am by trying to conform and do all these things to be a not even a version of myself, but I don't even know what to call it, but just, you know, just try to be a different person, I guess you would say, to appease other people. So what you all are saying, it makes so much sense, and it's actually answering a prayer that I've been having for the past month and a half now. Like, why is everything, like, why is God doing what he's doing? And it's really for me to just understand who I am in him and to be, basically just truly being able to stand on my own two feet and know who I am without, you know, having the validation or support or anything by anybody else and truly just trusting in him. And, you know, leaning on him, because if he tells me to do something or he has made me this way or all these different things, it's for a reason. And people might not understand it, but it's at the end of the day, I'm going to have to really walk in what God has called me to be. And I think about it all the time, like, you know, when we die and we get up to the gates of heaven and he asks us, like, what we have done and stuff like that. And it's literally, it has been haunting me. Like, thinking about it, it's just like, okay, I haven't really been doing what God, like, I have been loving people and all this different stuff, but at the core of it, I can't really say that I've done what God has told me to do. I can say that I've done what man has told me to do, though, you know, to try to please other people, and that doesn't feel good. And it's just, you all are really just answering a prayer, just why God has me in this place of deep, deep, deep isolation. And it's, wow, I'm gonna love more. It's amazing.
We speak to it from a place of experience, you know. And it's ongoing. It's like it's levels of it as well. It's like you'll reach one level of, like, okay, this group I can surpass, you know, and get beyond. Then you'll find yourself in another position, and you have to ask yourself, am I trying to fit in? You know, because I've seen how it went with the last one. You know, and like, wow. I don't want to go through that again. You know, I don't want to be without friends. I don't want to be without people that don't understand, you know, who I am. I don't want to say, quote unquote, the wrong thing or this, that, and other. And so it's about really, really keeping that in the forefront of your mind and really understanding your walk.
Mm-hmm.
You're walking your walk. You ain't walking nobody else's walk. And so you have to do the work where God inserts you. You know, with the people that's around you, you have to release what God has put in you for them.
Mm-hmm.
And you move on. You move on. And don't worry about whether they get it or not.
Yeah.
Because that's where we hinder ourselves.
Uh-huh.
At. You understand what I'm saying? You know, you're going to look at me crazy. You're going to look at me different. It doesn't even matter. Just keep moving. You know.
Wow.
And it's a process. I can't sit up here and tell you that it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
At all. You know, because God... I can't tell you that everybody is going to respond in this one way. No, I can't tell you that. But that's what keeps our relationship with God fresh and current, because we're depending on him to lead us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, God, I still got this person around, because he may tell you to release certain things at different times with certain people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you may have people in your circle that you've spoken to on a different level than you have with others, because it hadn't come their time yet.
Right. In the maturity level.
Yeah.
It might be a milk drinker, but they can't handle a steak. They'll choke on it.
Right. And so just be patient with yourself. I think God has given you that word before about being patient. And tonight's word was about just really focusing on the moment and what is needed in the moment that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Seeking on, okay, God, what is it that you're doing right now? How do you want me to spend this time right now? Because he's also facing you the future as well. But we'll be looking at the future and forget the present.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
But Lord, you told me I was going to be here about somewhere. Look, I know that. But where you at right now?
Yeah, we'll get a word and try to force it.
Yes.
Randy was talking about that last night. And Terrence and I, we know from experience, trying to force the word and then say, you know what, I'm tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then the word come to pass without us trying to force it.
Absolutely. You got to fuck. But God is training you, Jayla. Like, the training that you're getting right now at the age that you're at, it's meant for you to surpass us.
Mm-hmm.
God is opening up to you now at your age. For this level of teaching, for an expected end, you're going to surpass what we are when you get our age.
Right, because we're like the Elijah, and you're like the Elisha.
Absolutely.
You know, Elisha did twice as many miracles as Elijah.
Absolutely.
In his ministry.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to be doing, you know, on higher levels,
right,
than those that God is using in your life right now to love on you and mentor you and teach you and train you and guide you and give you wisdom. You're going to surpass. And like Terrence said, what stood out to me, that I definitely want to emphasize for you and for any call, because it's been something that's up, is the not making sure people get it. You give it to them. And I remember I used to, like, really struggle with that. And I was almost browbeating people, like, you understand? You understand? You know, I'm giving them, whether it be a prophecy or whatever however God was using me. And the Lord said, when did you become the Holy Spirit? And I was like, I'm not. Like, the Holy Spirit will bring them into all truth. Mm-hmm. He said, you're like a delivery person. Just drop off the package. Mm-hmm. He said, do you see UPS lingering and FedEx? Sitting on your couch, popping a root beer, talking about, what'd you get? No.
Wow.
They drop off the package. They make sure it's you. Mm-hmm. You, it's you. You, Jayla, sign here. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. So the right person got the package. That's it. And so don't get caught up when God is using you. Don't browbeat people. Don't, you know, hit them over the head with a Bible and then cram it down their throat. Just give it to them. You got the right person. You gave them the package. That's all you need to do. Because the Holy Spirit will bring them into all truth. Because sometimes people just don't have the ability to identify the truth at that time in their life.
Mm.
They know what they're seeing, but they can't identify it as of yet. It's like a baby looking at the sky. Baby can see the sky's blue. They point, oh, sky, sky. And then as they get older, they say sky. You say, what color is it? They say blue. It was blue. It didn't just turn blue, but when they got the comprehension and the ability to know the color blue, it being blue. They just didn't identify it. And so you could give somebody truth. You can give them a whole package of truth with a bow and everything on it, pretty ribbons and glitter and all that. They don't identify it as the truth. And then they'll be sitting there telling, I'm just looking for the truth. And you sitting there frustrated. I gave you the truth last Tuesday. And so it could cause you to want to, you know, get frustrated. No. You gave them the package. As they mature, they'll be able to identify it. Because I know I've had times like that where I'm like, man, I need to go out there and get this. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I already have that. I don't need to go out and get it. And that's what will happen to them. They'll get the revelation one day, wait a minute, I already got the truth of that. But wait a minute. I remember that time that Jayla girl said this. Could it be that, and if you seek, guess what? You're going to find. So if they're seeking and you've already given them, they're going to find it. Instead, don't pop that root beer and be sitting there waiting on them. You'd be waiting 10, 15 years on some people to open that pack.
You probably dead and gone before they get it.
Some people, I mean, and it's not your job to ensure. That's the Holy Spirit brings us into, you know, all truth. So you just deliver the package. Well, God is sent from heaven, straight from the throne, fine here, and don't get tripped up on that, because a lot of believers do get tripped on that, because we love people, and we want people to get it. We want them to get it. We try to liquefy it and inject them with it. We want them to get it so bad. But we just give it to them.
That's why it's important for us to let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus, because for God so loved the world that he gave.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But not only did he give, he understood how it works. You know what I'm saying? And so we can't allow our emotions to overwhelm us and get in the way of the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a process to it. You know, and we have to allow people, because people have to work out their own salvation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ain't nobody else salvation up to you.
No, nobody's going to be on nobody's fat piggyback when they're facing God. Not a single solitary unit.
I'm a co-sign for him, Jesus.
Right.
No.
Like, not Jesus. He's telling the story wrong because what had happened, no, there's not going to be any of that.
He's already advocating for us. Mm-hmm. He's already done it.
Because we're going to court.
Right.
And he's like our attorney.
And we coming in one by one.
Yeah.
He's beating every case, you know, and ain't nobody taking no charges for you.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So don't you be trying to take nobody else's charges. That's how you got to look at it. I ain't taking the charge for you. All I'm doing is laying down the law. The law that's been fulfilled. The fulfilled law. The law of love.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to present you the law of love. And you choose to receive it or not. That's on you. But it's been presented.
Right.
I fixed this meal. You said you was hungry. It's up to you whether you're going to eat or not. I fixed it. I'm gone. I got some more food to fix.
Mm-hmm.
I got some more people to serve. You know, and that's how we have to be. Although I would love for you to eat. Look at, Jesus gave his life for all of us so that we all will have an opportunity at everlasting life.
Oh.
But he also knows that we all are not going to choose.
How sad is that, too?
Wow.
Everybody got a means of escape, and everybody ain't going to escape by choice.
It's a choice because it separates those that have that ear.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts a level of sincerity with it. So how many people you want around you that you have to force to be your friend?
Right.
Think about this.
Mm-hmm.
You want folk around you that choose you. Well, you ain't got to put airs on for. Well, as long as you got this makeup on, girl, I'm kicking it with you.
Right.
Long as you wear this perfume, I'm kicking with you. As long as you got this type of money, I'm kicking with you. That ain't what it's about.
We all want the same thing that God wants, to be loved unconditionally for who we are and loyalty.
Absolutely.
Right? We like loyal friends. We want people that's gonna, you know, have our back. There's just all these different characteristics that we want out of people. It's the same thing that God wants out of us.
Absolutely. Because it's the folk that's not in my life right now that I've loved. But you know what? I'm glad I'm here with you. I'm glad I found out. Because guess what? I ain't got to put that time and energy into this. Because you had the opportunity because I show who I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my fault you didn't receive it.
Mm-hmm.
On to the next.
Yeah.
Spend my time with those that want it. Give to those that want it. And that's the reality of love.
Wow.
That's the reality of love.
Yeah, God lets us choose. So, and we want it, we got it.
We got it. It's
and those
up to
who
you.
Don't want it, he don't force it.
No.
Even though he would love to give it to him.
Right. It was made for you.
It was made for them to partake, but they don't. And that's how we got to be. We got to quit forcing relationships and all that. You know, you got to look at yourself as a privilege. It's a privilege to know. It's a privilege to be your friend because you know the type of person that you are.
Absolutely.
So if somebody don't want to have a legit friend and a person who got their back and be praying for them, and that's on them.
Yep, on them.
Yeah. You know, some people want to eat, you know, the dirt. If you want to eat the dirt, who am I to stop you?
Go right ahead, because guess what? That's your free will.
You got the free will to sit down, pull up a chair, put a bib on, and eat the dirt. That's on you.
Right. And God gave us that free will. And I truly believe every day that he's given us free will to separate the real from the fake.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Jesus was warring in the spirit.
Right.
In the Garden of Eden, like, man, Lord, says another way. Let this cup pass, because I don't want to drink from it. But you know what? Nevertheless, not my will, but thine will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are the people that you're looking for, those who are willing to give up their will and trade it in for the will of the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's love.
Yeah.
That's real love.
Mm-hmm.
That's real love. And that's what we're looking for. And it simplifies our walk. We bring so much complexity into our lives. So much confusion into our lives because we overthink things. We overanalyze things. We want to put our IQ level on things. When the word is simple, We always be like, well, God, why didn't you do this? Or why didn't you want to do that? When the why is already answered. That question has already been answered, but we ain't looking. God made it plain. He said, they that worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And so those that don't choose him, trust me, they ain't walking in his spirit and they ain't living in truth. Regardless of what the shell looks like, God knows the heart. He knows it. He knows the fruit that tree is going to bear. He knows the ability. We don't know what God be telling people.
Right.
And what we be trying to walk people live for them, be trying to define things. Oh, they ain't walking with the Lord. I don't know, you know, because if they knew God, they wouldn't, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we can't really say that. We could think that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what type of relationship that people have with God. They could have had a full-fledged mountaintop experience and walked away. They could have had a rich man experience and turned it down.
Yep.
They could have been closer to Jesus than we've been.
They could have been Judas.
Absolutely.
Walked with him.
and turned away. We don't know that because that's not our lane.
Wow.
That's not our lane. The enemy brings about confusion. He tries to confuse us and get our minds all discombobulated on all these different theoretical or theories and ideologies and all this type of stuff. That's how focused we really have to be on our walk. Because you can be a really good person, so to speak, you know, but really doing some bad things.
We've known people like that on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
They look all sweet and kind, and we know with the things that they partake in, wicked.
Yeah, wicked.
Straight evil. But know how to play the role.
Yeah, and we have to be mindful of the things that we get involved in, because we could be doing some wicked things unknowingly.
Right. For people who seemingly look like they are good on the outside could be getting you on their side to help them do things, and it seemingly looks good, and you doing the work of the devil and don't even know it.
Wow. That's why we pray for our sins of commission and omission. Every day. It's things you know you ain't supposed to be doing, then it's things that you get caught up in.
Mm-hmm.
God already knows that. That's why love is the focus. You're really simplifying the word. Simplifying the word of God and allowing the word of God to penetrate and move in your life. And you yield to it. That's it. Simplicity is key. It was simple. That's why Jesus said, come to me as little children. The word teaches you go to God with this doctorate. Then you know what you're talking about.
We break it down from the Greek,
yes,
and from the
like, Hebrew.
Right, like, no, it's not.
You know.
We complicate things. There's nothing the wrong people when they do that.
No, it's nothing wrong.
Because
with
of them, you do get deeper understanding, but it's just a simple gospel.
It's simple.
It is. There's hidden things that God will bring you into, mysteries and all that kind of stuff. But when you come at people with that, you're going to scare them off.
It's simple, man.
It's a simple gospel. It's a simple message. It's a love story.
Absolutely.
So that's the word we got for you, Jalen. That's a lot.
That's the word for pretty much everybody.
That's for everybody, yeah.
That's everybody. We ain't got no time talking about it. We ain't got time. God's been doing something different. He's been feeding us all from one plate, in one spoon. You know, we come in with all our own individual thoughts and prayers, but he answers everybody in one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm.
He comes through.
Just like when you go to church, and you could be dealing with something different than your neighbor two chairs down, and you both were fed. And you're like, man, that service is just for me. And they're like, oh, man, that service is just for me. And you're dealing with two totally different things.
Right.
Because the Spirit of God is speaking to you and providing answers. You know, when you're seeking, you're going to find. And God will use whichever, you know, church service or, you know, online ministry like this to feed you what you need. Because he supplies needs. Sometimes we want things. There's been times, I remember when I first was calling in the PG, and I want to answer about this, and then Randy pressed on me, it'd be something totally different. I'm like, that's not what I wanted.
God,
I gave you what you need. I'm like, what I want to know, you don't need to know that. You need to know that I was telling you. Let me give you what you need, not just what you want.
He's the need for.
Does the need for.
It does the need
for. So, yeah.
Need, so.
Everybody, I know everybody got what they needed tonight. This is good. I love that math thing. That was big, right? I've never even heard anything like that. It's so true, though. People will allow people to subtract, add, multiply. People ain't got that power. We got to put that power back where it belongs. Power belongs to God, period.
Power belongs to God.
Ooh, I love that song. I remember I was a baby of Christ. I used to wear that. I had a tape. I had a cassette tape. I'm aging myself. But I used to wear that thing out, hitting the wine over and over. No, you're not going to embarrass me. I don't know why you'd be trying to embarrass me on the show. You're trying to get me to sing. You sang a nice chord of it.
Come on, man. Oh, give me a little note.
I belong to God. When somebody can sing, they always make it seem easy. Just do this. It's simple.
Oh,
good doggone well. You ain't got no type of talent like they got. It's easy.
We're not messing with it's hard to be heard.
Look, I'm not trying to scare these folks. It's not right.
Jay, that ain't right for them to do me like this. That's cold. You just choked me on the air.
It's simple. I should get into that weight lifters. It's simple. Trying to break your whole neck, trying to do what's simple for them is easy.
That's a word for somebody.
You're embarrassing yourself in front of folks.
That's a word. Wow. Wow. But, Lord, we just thank you for being who you are.
Yeah.
Lord, we just thank you for being the answered prayer.
Yes. Yeah.
The answered prayer, being the supplier of the need. Father God, we just thank you for revelation. We thank you for boldness. Lord, we just thank you for relationship building. Father God, we just thank you for kingdom awareness.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for us joining our hearts in heaven as a real place.
Yes.
And we just pray, Lord, that our goal is to see you when we leave here on this side, Father God. And we pray that we can just be a positive in somebody's life. Somebody's life and death. So the life that we live in the road that we walk will be pleasing to you. And that the things that we do will be acceptable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank you. We love you. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you all. I love you so much. Like,
we love you too, Jay.
Yes, we love you too. You're welcome as always. Thank you, everybody, for calling in. Call back to Randy. You can start calling in at 8:45. If you want to get in the queue, hit 1. He typically prays over every caller on Wednesday. I know he's going to continue the teaching about the blood realm. So it's been some fascinating, amazing teaching. So I highly recommend that you call back and listen in. And then if you want prayer, you know, hit 1. If you don't, just listen in. I know it's going to be a good word. So we love you. Till next time, you guys. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.